And then one more vibration will be added. And instead of seven colors, a future universe will have eight colors.
And that's not what the answer to James' question, that's not the same thing?
Well, in this universe of seven, we just don't have one universe of seven. It's created, it will fold up, and then we'll have another universe of seven created. And it's just like in your cycle of lives. In your cycle of lives, you're incarnated as all kinds of different people in this system. Okay? Then when you're done, you will go to a different type of environment and maybe a different type of universe and go through additional lifetimes. It's like the scriptures say, you will have eternal lives on eternal worlds. There will never be an end to having a variation of lives for you.
But eventually folds up because we've had every experience possible.
Right. When every possible experience, when all the shades of meaning and variation of the universe of seven is done through creating and recreating and recreating maybe a thousand times, then another universe will be created called the universe of eight, and it will have eight colors instead of seven colors. And then later we'll have one of nine. I have nine colors instead of seven colors.
I'm going to come back to
until finally the universe of 12 is created. Yeah.
This person has an out-of-body experience, like, I don't remember exactly what it's called, but they, out-of-body experience, they go with their spirit someplace, and they go traveling on an astral projection. Thank you, astral projection. Is that one of the four layers of astral to go traveling on without your body?
Yeah, astral travel, you just travel in the astral world. You don't travel in the mental world, but the astral. Leave your body and you go to the... it's called astral travel, but sometimes it's more appropriately called etheric travel, because sometimes they'll leave with the etheric body and go to different places.
Can you do that when you're dreaming?
Yeah, uh-huh. Matter of fact,
it's not always, you know, after you leave your body. I mean, as far as... like near-death experience or...
Yeah, it's different, huh? Mm-hmm. So there is a near-death experience that's not astral travel.
Isn't that different, JJ? You go to a different...
Well, in a near-death experience, you actually leave your body with your etheric and everything leaves temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And your whole being leaves. And you go to the spiritual world,
mm-hmm.
and then you just come back.
But astral travel is not that?
Well, it's similar.
Yeah. You can answer.
So we're here, and we're at the point where all seven of these worlds impact. We're at that point. And we have experiences. You know, we're here for experience. We have experience, whether, you know, everyone's talking astral. Why then is it important that we view it through the lens of the soul? You know, I mean, we're here to talk about soul contact, and we have. So why is it important? You know, I can see the importance of experience and the things of it, but why is it that it's important that we view it through the eyeglass or through the viewer of the soul?
Well, because it's the only way you can find the truth. And we're going to go into that a little bit. Okay, now, let's go a little bit into soul contact itself. Soul, remember, is the interplay between the two worlds, the spiritual world, which is composed of a number of spheres, and the material world. Now, when we contact the other world, it can be the astral, it can be the mental, it can be one of the higher worlds, and through the avenue of soul, it allows you to open the doors to all the worlds. Soul contact is the door that opens, it opens the door to the contact with the unseen. So it's extremely key, because with soul contact, without soul contact, the door cannot be open. With soul contact, the door is open. Now what you're going to visit there and come in contact with depends on your state of consciousness and where you put your attention. Where you put your attention is extremely key. If your attention is on what you want for you only, then you won't go any higher than the astral. If your attention is on like serving humanity, then you can open the door to higher than the astral, you know. But you go to where your attention is. And attention is a really key element in life that is often overlooked by many teachers, because to be successful in accomplishing anything, whether it be in your professional life, whether it be in your life as a seeker, or in your relationships, it all boils down to where you put your focus. And you only have so much ability to focus. Let's call it one unit. We all have one unit of focus. Now, if you're, for instance, married and you have an affair on the side, how much focus are you going to give your companion? Maybe she gets 10% of it. The person you're having the affair with maybe gets 90%, and your companion will feel, hey, something's wrong here, right? So the focus, the amount of focus we give anything determines the success. To have a successful relationship, you have to give a certain amount of focus on that relationship to have it be successful. If you're operating a business, you have to put your unit of focus on that business. If you got a business, for instance, and I found this out through trial and error in my own life, because one of the problems with people like myself that has lots of ideas, it's quite difficult to put enough focus on one idea to make it materialize. Because you get one idea, and I've seen this with a lot of people that get ideas. They're very intelligent, but many of them are very unfocused. They get an idea and they think, oh man, this is going to change the world. This is going to make me rich. And then 3 days later, they get another idea, and they'll say, oh man, this is going to be even better. And so they take the attention off one idea and put it on a new one. I have a nephew that's a little like that. He kept calling me up with ideas. He got a new idea every week. And I said, well, yeah, that's pretty good, but, you know, so-so. And then he called me up one time with an idea that I says, you know, this is really good. It was designing web pages for real estate people. And I thought, that's the first really practical idea you've had. Now go with it. And I explained to him the importance of focusing. I say, now the trouble with you is you get a lot of ideas. You need to just forget about all these ideas and get this one going. And he followed my advice, and he's very successful now with us designing web pages for realtors. And he's kind of branched off of that. He's even developed these little drones that he makes that flies above real estate places and takes pictures, and so he's branched off, but he still calls me up with ideas now and then. Say, hey, I got this new idea. And I said, well, don't quit your day job. stay with this one. Just do this on the side, you know. And this is what you have to do, is to be successful at anything, and this includes soul contact. You have to put your focus on what you want to contact, what you want to achieve in order to have it happen.
So the highest question then would be, how can I be of service? When you take the question up, when you take a question to the meditation to the higher planes, if the question is, what do I want to do, then you're going to be stuck in the atmic plane. But if the question is, how do I want to serve, then I can go over the mental.
Well, you won't get stuck in the atmic plane. Believe me, that's pretty high up. You just get a flash from there once in a while.
Astral.
Oh, okay. You're right.
Astral.
Okay, now let's focus on this. Soul contact itself. What happens when a person first achieves a degree of soul contact? Okay, think of that. And it's probably time to take a little break. We'll take about a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss, think of this question while we're at break.
Okay.
What happens when a person first achieves soul contact, and how does it happen?